Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE, sponsored by Logistics Plus. Today we're talking with Jason Burnick. Jason just began a new role with Logistics Plus to help develop, support, and grow new vertical segments at LP. Hello, Jason. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Joe. Thanks for having me, man. I love this program, and I'm very excited to be part of the Logistics Plus team. Like, I just have to throw this out there. If anybody on the team ever needs help with anything, I'm here. Don't hesitate. Reach out directly, please.
You know, Jason, I've heard good things about you, so I'm really looking forward to this time together. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and your new role at Logistics Plus?
Yeah, definitely. My career started as a merchant mariner. I was a third mate on a vessel, container ship. I knew after a little bit of time that that wasn't going to be my lifestyle or what I wanted. It was great money, though. So I got some time to figure out what my next step was going to be. I got lucky, I would say, like, unbelievably lucky with Horizon Lines offering me a position. I moved across the country from New Jersey out to Long Beach and was tasked with managing a Teamster trucking organization in Long Beach. About 50 trucks and 100 to 110 different Teamster drivers. I definitely messed up more than I did well, but I had some great managers, and that role led me to a role eventually with Horizon Logistics, which I know everybody here knows, but Horizon Logistics was acquired by Logistics Plus. And the people at that company, it was like, I felt like we were always a family. And a lot of, you know, I would say over the last 10 years, I've really looked at my decision-making probably, but also where I was in my career and why I didn't try harder to be part of Logistics Plus back then. But I will tell you, I'm in exactly the right spot now that I should be. And I feel like now I'm equipped to actually help Logistics Plus much more than I could have back then. Anyway, after Horizon Logistics, I jumped into the startup world. I worked at Square, MassDrop, Fab.com, and a couple other companies. And there was some success. Obviously, Square is still successful, but there was also tremendous failure in there. But I learned a lot, and that helped me to also understand how to find new and emerging markets. And I got really connected with some great people in San Francisco that they know where the market's going to kind of go and what the next big thing might be. And then after that, I worked for a little while with a couple other companies, but it wasn't the right fit for me. And yeah, this role is perfect at this point. I mean, it's different for me because most of my career has been focused around operations, but this role is both, I think. At least it's making sure that the operations are set up correctly and the processes work for giving the customer what they need. And I trust everybody in this company to actually satisfy those needs.
Jason, I can't wait to hear more about your new role, but you've done a lot. You've got a fascinating background. You really do. What attracted you to LP?
The people. I mean, I can't say there's no way that you can get around that. I've followed them since I left Horizon Logistics, but, you know, there's so many good people here. Jenny Melgert, Tom Kelly, Michelle Fontaine, Frank Knopfels is somebody that there's probably not enough words that I can say about him that would make it, you know, really worth anything that anybody would actually care to hear. But there's just like this whole team is special. And honestly, I worked at so many companies that everybody tried to step on each other. And it was more about how much recognition could I get rather than how much more can I do to help my teammate or get the company into a better position.
Let's talk about your role. Can you tell us a little bit about the verticals you'll be focusing on at Logistics Plus, and also any insights on what you'll be working on yet?
Yeah, look, the company covers the full spectrum of services and industries. I know that other people have kind of touched the things that I'm working on, but my extreme focus is on emerging technology companies that are either very focused on supporting AI. So it's data centers, it's hosting facilities where big power is available at cheap costs. And then also, you know, there's Bitcoin mining companies or cryptocurrency mining companies that if they can get cheap energy and if crypto keeps going up, it's great opportunities for us. Basically, if you look at it and you think about both of those sides in a spectrum, there's a certain amount of money that is available every day, whether it's cryptocurrency or within the AI market, that a company can gain. And every day that those machines, servers, miners, whatever you want to call them, aren't plugged in at a facility, those companies are losing money. And my main focus is being able to create the most solid supply chain to give them the fastest, best, most reliable service that they can get. And bringing it here, I feel like I have all the resources.
Jason, can you talk a little bit about, for those of us not in the know or not in the logistics industry, can you share a little bit about the sort of companies you'll be working with?
Maybe. That's kind of a tough one. So a lot of the companies that I've talked to have NDAs, obviously. But the type of companies, if you look on, the stock market on companies that are mining any kind of cryptocurrency coin, those are the ones that I'm absolutely going after. I feel like none of them have been served. And as you get halving in like Bitcoin is going to have in the next 3 weeks, sometime in April, that's going to create an opportunity where those machines that they have on hand, you know, 50,000 machines in some of these facilities, they're not efficient anymore. So they're going to get rid of those and they need 50,000 machines to replace them.
Jason, let's pivot now a little bit to some of the challenges. What are you anticipating facing when it comes to challenges in your new role?
So most of the companies that are in either cryptocurrency or data mining or, you know, supporting the AI industry with these really intense chips from really high powered CPUs, the issue that they run into most of the time is that they have no knowledge on how to ship any of them. Like, these are the smartest people in the world. And once they go through engineering and figure out how to make it as small as they can and make it as powerful as they can, they just put it on a, you know, basically put it on a pallet and say, okay, I hope it gets there. And the companies that are buying them also don't have a ton of knowledge. So, you know, both sides are kind of in this flux of how much do I charge if I'm going to deliver this DDU, deliver duty paid or deliver duty unpaid, or if I'm a importer, how much should I actually pay for this? The problem also is these things are worth so much that you just want them. So you go to the manufacturer and you say, give it to me for whatever price it is. And they say they can ship it. And you're like, if that makes it come to me quicker, let's do it. It's just they're in this kind of cycle that isn't great. And I was able to tap in and break that a little while ago. And I feel like with the right resources here, that's exactly what we can do. But any delays, any time that, you know, obviously anything gets broken, anything that gets lost, those are the ugly, you know, moments, regardless of industry or vertical. Mm-hmm. So same things, but the thing they need is just holding their hand, getting them to the finish line, and then starting over again.
Makes sense. We're speaking with Jason Burnick, Logistics Plus team member that develops, supports, and grows new vertical segments at Logistics Plus. Jason, how can Logistics Plus continue to grow in the tech sector?
The same way they have in the past. The support from senior leadership, Jim, Yuri, Frank, they trust the people that work on their teams to introduce ideas and concepts and, you know, provide return on investment, ROIs on suggestions and ideas that they've heard or They've evaluated. I saw this company back again in 2011. And what everybody's done with this is just trust their people. And when you do that, you know, really invest in people, you see great returns.
Absolutely. Jason, let's learn a little bit more about you. Do you have any interesting stories or accomplishments from your past working life that you'd like to share with us today?
No. No, just kidding. Just joking. Look, I was on a ship when I was a cadet at the Merchant Marine Academy, and they told us that we were going to go through a hurricane. And me and another guy that was on the ship with me as a cadet, we were so excited because we were like, this is going to be so cool. We can tell everybody about this. And then we had 75-foot waves crashing over the bow and like water coming into the bridge for about 7 hours. And we lost 35 containers over the side. And they basically moved off like they were Legos. And I think, honestly, like when I think back to being on ships as a third mate later on in my life, that memory always stuck with me. And I was like, okay, come on. It's worked this well for this long, but we're rolling the dice every time we're on a boat in the middle of the ocean. Like Mother Nature's too tough.
No doubt. What a great story. Third mate on a vessel. You have had a background, haven't you?
I mean, we can sit here and talk about stories all day if you want.
I think you had told me this morning that there was another story from your working life that you were able to assist one of your clients at Square, I believe.
Yeah, so at Square, when we came out with the Square Apple Reader back in 2016, Jack Dorsey made a promise to all of our customers that pre-ordered that we would deliver all those in the fall of 2016. But we weren't anywhere near being able to finalize that engineering project or bring a product off the line until much later. Basically September, we had a golden model. And then if you think about production of about 500,000 units, doesn't happen very quickly. So my task was getting everything to those customers that pre-ordered before December 21st when winter started. And I was able to work with some really great people, team up. It's what I love to do, and let them create solutions that could satisfy, you know, not only what we had promised, but also what our customers needed. And I think we shipped our first unit out of our packing center out of Shenzhen, China on December 5th of that year. And we had fulfilled 550 or 560,000 units out to customers by December 20th. It was awesome. Nobody had ever used kind of the path that we did at that time. Now everybody does, but it was really amazing. Some great partners. And I think in this industry, the whole thing is like relationships, being able to tap into creative individuals when like you or they need you either way. And then just saying, okay, like this is a crazy situation. How do we fix it? And that's what's fun about it.
Yeah. And I've got to imagine that being shipped as timely as it did in those huge quantities meant everything to the end user.
I think so. Look, I mean, those companies were in a situation where if they had to continue to take swipe transactions, you know, remember when we used to like swipe our credit cards through a magnetic reader? If they continued to do that, there was no fraud protection and they were going to pay a higher rate, you know, anywhere like call it double, triple what they were currently paying. So, you know, it definitely for the customers, it meant a lot. But internally, I think when, you know, your leadership team puts a goal in front of you and says, this is what we're doing, you do everything you can to get there. And I feel like it's at this company, it's the same way.
Yeah, it really does sound like, you know, we've had the good fortune of doing this program now, I believe 5.5 years or so. And we've spoken to a variety of people within it. And the common bond always with Logistics Plus is whatever it takes to make the customer happy. And it certainly sounds like your background is an ideal fit when it comes to Logistics Plus.
I hope so. I really do. I can't stress enough how much I feel like I hit the jackpot. And at this point in my career, being a part of this team, the people here are amazing. And I couldn't be anywhere else. So, yes.
And Jason, let's talk a little bit more about you. What interests do you have outside of the logistics industry?
I love to play golf. On my free time, I love to do analytics about stuff that no one cares about. So I dive into, right now with the NCAA tournament going on, I will break down every game based on where people are and where, calls are made and what matchups are there. And I have no idea why it's so exciting to me, but it is. Outside of that, I played basketball in college. I still play. I'm not, I used to think I was as good as I was when I was in college, but that was very evident in an under 40 league recently that I'm not still there. And then I try and play golf, but I really enjoy playing golf more if it was only scrambles.
Only scrambles.
Only scrambles.
I understand completely. Jason, any final words before we depart? And once again, I can't thank you enough for being with us today on Business Spotlight. It certainly has been a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Joe. I just want to tell you, it's been really good just having a conversation with you, man. And I look forward to the future, probably polishing this a bit more, but also just spending some time with you.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. You can access today's program or other episodes of Business Spotlight by clicking on the podcast tab on our homepage. Join us again next week as UPMC Hammett is in the Business Spotlight.